The Secure Act, that is the Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement Act, became effective January 1st, 2020. And it is perhaps the most impactful retirement legislation of the past decade. So as development officers at nonprofit organizations, what do we need to know about it? Hi, I'm Casey Powell, president of Thompson & Associates, and I am joined today by our two planning attorneys here at Thompson & Associates, Bill Gustoff in Des Moines, Iowa, is president of the legal division. Hi, Bill.
Hi, good to be here.
Yeah, and Jason Meredith from the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. He's our executive vice president for charitable estate planning. And hi, Jason.
Hi, Casey and Bill. Glad to be on the call today.
Well, thanks for joining me in this conversation. And so, Bill, I'm going to start with you. You know, I think most people listening have probably heard of the Secure Act and read about it. So for those of us who work in charitable estate planning or in fundraising, what are the main things we need to know about the Secure Act?
Yeah, as you said, there's a lot of information out there, and some of us have some fear-mongering, but I think the key things that affect the work we do, things we need to know for our clients and donors that we work with, is that it increases the age of the required minimum distribution from 70 and a half, which it's been for a long time, to age 72. It also eliminates the age restriction on a traditional IRA account. As you recall, that was at 70 and a half as well. And now, as long as you have earned income, you can set up an IRA up to the extent that maxes out the limits, even beyond, but there's no age limit. And then the biggest thing we hear about is that the stretch IRA is gone, that limited the stretch IRA. Instead of being able to leave something to someone over their lifetimes, the maximum payout term is now 10 years.
Okay, well, Jason, turn to you. So why is limiting the stretch of an IRA to 10 years, well, why is that such a big deal? Why are we hearing so much about that?
Well, let's look at what the law had in place prior to the Secure Act first, and then we'll talk about what happened after the Secure Act. Prior to the Secure Act, and for years, even for, gosh, I don't know, 30 years, if we had an individual who, let's say, had a retirement account, again, we're talking about some type of qualified account, an IRA, 401k, some type of tax-deferred account. Well, prior to the Secure Act, that individual, upon their death, could leave their qualified account, their IRA, let's call it an IRA. They could leave their account to a younger beneficiary, usually going to children. And the person who inherited the IRA had the ability to stretch out the distributions of that account over their life expectancy. So, for example, let's say a parent has an IRA. They leave their IRA to their 40-year-old child. The child has a 30 or 40-year life expectancy. They could take out that IRA distribution over a 30 or 40-year period of time. You know, all depends on how old the beneficiary is or the child is at the time mom and dad died. But stretching that IRA out over a longer period of time would allow that child, the adult child here, to take a little bit of income, recognize a little bit of income each year over a long period of years, keeping that child, one, in lower income tax brackets each year, and allowing any of the money not taken out of the IRA to continue to grow inside of a tax-deferred account. And so, you know, in an ideal situation, that's what most beneficiaries would want to do. That's why we've always heard about the stretch IRA, and that's exactly what that is. Now, what's happened is when the Secure Act was passed, that child who I've just described, who inherited the IRA, now cannot stretch that out over their life expectancy. They are in most situations required to take that out over a 10-year period of time. And shortening that stretch period from potentially 30 or 40 years down to 10 years. Of course, the drawback to that is the child is losing all the tax deferred growth over all those years, and potentially having to take the income out of the IRA faster, it potentially could force that child into a higher tax bracket. So not only paying taxes at a faster rate, but at a higher bracket. So that is definitely the concern that the Secure Act has now is now placed on the taxpayers.
Okay, that makes sense. And so, you know, so what you're talking about is, you know, let's say if I pass away, and I want to stretch that out, I don't want to give everything outright to my kids, then that's where the issue comes in. But Bill, let me turn to you. Well, what if I don't care about stretching? What if I want to give all of my retirement accounts outright when I pass away to my kids, my heirs, whoever it is, and maybe it's to charity as well, and I want to do that immediately when I pass away. How does Secure affect me in that situation?
Well, in that situation, it really doesn't affect you. So a charity is not subject to this stretch rule either way. So you can give outright to a charity, which is something we often recommend, to your heirs or beneficiaries or children. If you're okay with the 10 years, that's fine. In fact, one kind of change buried in this is that instead of requiring immediate payouts, you can now stretch, you can delay payments. It just, the new law says that the proceeds have to be taken out of the account when they're left to an individual within 10 years. So you could take out 000 up till year 10 and then draw it out. So there's a little bit of different stretch up front, but nonetheless, it generally compresses it. So if your goal is not to stretch it out beyond 10 years for your heirs or make them delay it longer than that, it really doesn't affect you much. And there are a few exceptions in there. So for one is the spouse. We still have the spousal exception that remains unchanged, that you can leave it to your spouse. You can roll it over into his or her own IRA. For children, there's a tolling of the statute. So if I have a child who inherits my IRA who's 10, that 10-year clock doesn't start on that child until, well, I was going to say 18, but it's the age of majority in that state. So typically 18, but whatever the age of majority is. If you have a beneficiary who's chronically ill or disabled, they can get a lifetime stretch as well still. And then there's an exception for beneficiaries who are not more than 10 years younger than the plan owner, in which case the 10 years is actually longer than their life expectancy in some of those cases anyway. So there's exceptions, but again, if your goal is just to leave it to your heirs and you're not concerned about how they're going to handle it, this doesn't really impact your planning.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And I'll pause here real quick. And we talk about that, you know, this outright gift, it doesn't really, Secure doesn't affect it if it's an outright gift, but it does if we're trying to stretch it. I think, you know, looking back on what we've already talked about, this is a really big opportunity for nonprofits to talk to their donors about a qualified charitable distribution, for example, at age 70 and a half, because that's when, if you're age 70 and a half, you can give up to $100,000 to charity from your retirement account. It doesn't count as income. You don't get a charitable deduction, but it comes out of your retirement account. And there's a gap there now because, as you mentioned before, Bill, the Secure Act has increased the age to 72 when people have to start taking that required minimum distribution. Well, people are hearing a lot about the Secure Act and how it could really mess up their estate plans. But with the loss of the stretch, and then there's also the higher standard deduction. So people, fewer people are itemizing for that charitable deduction anyway. There's a lot of people who are going to find this qualified charitable distribution option very attractive. We as nonprofits, we just need to explain it to them. And, you know, it's as Russell James has written a really good article. I read it on LinkedIn. He's great. Gives his material away, you know, as far as, you know, reading it. And he has a really good article, and he talks about how, you know, it's more expensive now to leave your retirement accounts to your kids, so it's more attractive to give outright to charity. So I think this is a really good opportunity for us as nonprofits, specifically in that area on Secure. So Jason, let me turn to you. We've talked about how the Secure Act really only changes things when you don't want to leave the retirement accounts outright at your death. So what are some reasons that people they don't want to leave everything outright at death? You know, they're kind of afraid of that. There's some things. You know, what are some drawbacks of why don't people want to leave a large inheritance outright, and what are some things they can do to protect it?
Yes, actually, yeah, good question. I think there's kind of a two-part answer here. First, let me kind of describe why someone would want to leave something, well, why someone would not want to leave an IRA outright to a beneficiary. And then let's talk about some of the current estate plans that are out there and how the Secure Act affects currently established plans. So first, when I think about it, I think of five categories of client situations where a client may not want to leave an IRA directly to a beneficiary. And this would be one, the client has minors, beneficiaries of their estate who are minors, basically being individuals under the age of majority. Usually that's 18 in most states. Someone who says, well, wait a minute, I have young adult children. Maybe they're technically 18, but the client doesn't want to leave a large amount of money to an 18, 19, 20-year-old who might not be mature enough, financially mature enough to inherit those assets. That's category two. Category three, the client has a beneficiary in their estate who the client considers to be a spendthrift, someone who's not going to manage money well, blow through money, mismanage it, and they don't want to leave that IRA outright to a spendthrift beneficiary. Category four might be they have a beneficiary of their estate who they want to protect these assets in case that beneficiary were to get a divorce. This is very common where you see parents who want to leave assets to children, maybe adult children. Parents are concerned their adult child will get a divorce eventually someday down the road or could become divorced, and they want those assets protected in the event their child were to get divorced. And then the fifth category is just what we call creditor protection. Again, maybe we have a parent leaving assets possibly to a child, and they want to make sure that child, if that child was ever sued, lawsuits, creditors, judgments, they want to make sure that the IRA and possibly other assets are left to the child with a level of asset or creditor protection. So if we were to leave assets outright to a minor, a young adult, a spendthrift, or just to an adult beneficiary that could lose these assets in a divorce or spendthrift, obviously these could be concerns. These are concerns of a lot of individuals. So this is where we may find an individual who says, wait a minute, I have one of these five concerns in my estate, so I would rather leave my IRA to a trust for the benefit of my child or grandchild or whoever we're leaving things to, the beneficiary who's in one of these categories. Because see, if we leave an IRA to a trust, we can do better planning. We can leave assets in trust for minor children until they're adults. We can leave assets in trust for a young adult beneficiary who may mismanage it. We leave assets in trust for a spendthrift who doesn't manage assets well. By leaving assets in trust, we can give a beneficiary asset protection, creditor protection, divorce protection. So these are situations where we might want an IRA to go to a trust. Now we have to analyze, well, what happened prior to Secure Act when an IRA went to a trust, and what happens after the Secure Act when an IRA goes to a trust? Now, this gets a little bit complicated, but I think it's important to understand. So prior to the Secure Act, if an IRA was going to be transferred or left into a trust upon someone's death, that IRA had to have very special language inside of it in order to qualify that IRA for this stretch out distribution that we've been talking about. If we didn't have the right language inside of that trust, then that trust would not be allowed to stretch out the IRA over the beneficiary's life expectancy. And again, like we've talked about, losing all the tax deferral, paying taxes sooner, higher rates, all the things we've been talking about. So for 20 plus years, probably even almost 30 years, attorneys have been putting very, very special language inside of estate plans in order to qualify these trusts for the IRA stretch out. Well, then comes the Secure Act. And the Secure Act says that, well, okay, the entire IRA must be paid out of the IRA to either a person or a trust, but whoever it goes to, the IRA must be paid out in 10 years. Well, that very same language that we had in the trust to qualify it for a longer stretch out prior to Secure Act that very same language is going to, once the IRA comes out of the, once the money comes out of the IRA to the trust, that very same language is going to force the money out of the trust to the beneficiary. So essentially, the very same language we had in there before, oftentimes this was called conduit language. This conduit language will force the money out of the protected trust directly to our minor, our young adult, our spendthrift, or our beneficiary who we're trying to give divorce and creditor protection to. So it's almost like if we have a client who is really concerned about one of these five categories, then the language, it's very likely, not guaranteed, but it's very likely they have language in their plan that will force the assets out of the trust, losing the very protections they were trying to get in the beginning, to begin with. And so I think the takeaway is this. You know, you'll hear a lot of hype out there that says, oh my gosh, the Secure Act is devastating estate plans. The Secure Act has trashed all these estate plans and everybody out there has to redo their plan. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that the takeaway is this, that if we have a client who knows that they have trust planning in their plan, they have directed their IRAs or qualified accounts to these trusts, they really need to have their plan reviewed by their estate planning attorney to see if there needs to be any changes. The Secure Act does not affect every estate plan out there. It may affect a lot of them, but not every plan. And I think that that client just needs to be aware that they should probably have their plan reviewed to see if any changes are recommended by their estate planning attorney.
That's a great summary, Jason. I appreciate that. And I'd like to just jump in here too, because I think this is another really big opportunity for nonprofits to talk to supporters. We're here to help our supporters. We want them to do well, and we don't want anything bad to happen to them, in their estate plan. So, those who already have an estate plan, they're going to most certainly want to make sure that these new laws haven't disrupted their plan. So encouraging them to review their plan. And nonprofits, if you're a Thompson client, this is an excellent opportunity to invite them into our free confidential planning process to make sure their plan does exactly what they think it does. And those who have already gone through our planning process, they may want to meet again with us just to review their plan under the new laws, make sure it's still everything's okay, and tweak it if it needs to get tweaked. So again, this is a really good opportunity for us to reach out to our supporters, let them know about the law and the new law. And as Jason mentioned, if they've got this type of planning in their plan, or if they think they do, it's a really, really good opportunity to review it. So Bill, let me turn, I think really one last question. If someone really likes the idea of using their retirement account to provide an income stream, as Jason mentioned, where we could stretch it out before for a long time, and the benefit of that a lot of people have is that stretch, that to get that income stream. And they probably, the people that we're talking to, they want to do something for charity as well. But in addition to this income stream, they probably have other assets that they're leaving, to their heirs. So what are their options? What else can they be doing besides just doing this retirement account planning?
Yeah, well, so I'll piggyback onto Jason's great summary there. So, he hit on the creditor issues there. So if you have somebody who wants to leave an income stream and they don't have the creditor issues, then the conduit trust still might work. It's just that you just need to know that it's limited to 10 years, but there's really nothing you can do about that. You can leave it to them outright and they can take it out immediately or have to wait according to what the trustee says up to 10 years, or they can do it themselves outright or leave it in a trust where a trustee can dictate how fast they can take it out and they can distribute it through and still get the same tax treatment. If there are creditor issues, there's a twist on this that Jason was hinting at. It's instead of just a conduit trust, there's something called an accumulation trust in which the retirement accounts can be paid and not necessarily distributed straight through. Now that's going to trigger some different tax consequences. That's going to have income tax inside of a trust, which we typically don't want. But I tell clients all the time, if you're dealing with a beneficiary who has you know, drug issues, creditor issues, divorce issues, and it's a choice between, you know, I can distribute this money to my child who's going to lose a bigger chunk of it to some sort of creditor or other issue versus holding it in trust to protect it for them. And yes, I'm going to pay more taxes. They'll pay more taxes. You know, we'd rather pay more taxes and preserve some principal. But an idea we still love is that if you want to leave a beneficiary an income stream of up to 20 years, you can use 20 years, or depending on their age or ages at the time that at the death of the account holders, it could still be over their lifetimes if they qualify. We like the charitable remainder trust is still a potential vehicle. And that's just a trust that you create at your death, typically, in this case, and you direct your retirement accounts to it. And that's going to be a tax-free transfer into that because the charitable trust, remainder trust, will qualify for charitable treatment. Now, as the income gets paid out of there to your heir or heirs over the term of 20 years or life if they qualify, it's going to be income taxable to them at that point. But that would have been the case anyway. So the charitable remainder trust has kind of become the charitable stretch remainder trust as an alternative to what we've lost on the conduit trust in the past.
Oh, that's great. So, yeah, I like that. You know, exactly what you're saying. It really depends on what the person wants. I mean, there are options. Now, there's give and take. You know, it may not be as, you know, the stretch or, you know, the income stream for a long time. It may not be as good, or the accumulation trust, you know, tax-wise. But, again, it goes back to what they want. Here's what the new laws are. What are you wanting to do? Here's the consequences, and you know, making an informed decision. You know, I love that. There are a lot of options out there for them. They just need to know it. They didn't know what's going on. So Jason, do you have any final thoughts?
You know, I think Bill did a great job there, kind of summarizing another option with the charitable remainder trust. You know, I think the biggest takeaway is this. You know, there's a lot of hype out there, a lot of information, I think there's some, a little bit of misinformation, but I think for the most part, I think individuals need to be educated. This is, like you said, Casey, this is a great opportunity for nonprofits to educate individuals on the new law, what's going on. I think that, you know, the takeaway is the stretch IRA is not dead. You'll hear people say, oh, the stretch IRA is dead. It's not dead. It is limited, but it's not dead. And to be honest with you, if we utilize a technique like a charitable remainder trust, we can really mimic a lifetime stretch out, very similar to what we had before the SECURE Act was in place. What I find a little bit discouraging is, I know some advisors who they're touting things like, okay, let's convert all the IRAs to Roths now. Let's replace the lost tax deferral with life insurance. And those are great techniques, and I'm not discounting those techniques. But I also want everyone, the takeaway is there's, you know, this charitable remainder trust is a really good opportunity. It's an additional technique in addition to Roth conversions and life insurance and things like that may be hearing out there. So just to realize there's two or three good alternative strategies here to address the limited stretch that we have now. And the last takeaway is just, if you believe you've got currently directed IRAs to a trust in your estate plan, it's a really good idea to have that plan reviewed and make sure your plan is still doing what you think it's doing, and to see if you needed a revision from the plan. To me, those are kind of the final thoughts and takeaways from the call.
Yeah, that's great, Jason. And I just want to reiterate too, not only charitable remainder trust, it's stretched to a certain extent as well, but just remember outright gifts from retirement accounts from your supporters, and just the tax advantage of that, of just leaving it outright as a beneficiary, leaving your organization as a beneficiary of the retirement accounts. It's a great time to even just talk about that very, very simple plan as well. So you just want to throw that in there. Well, Jason, Bill, thank you so much for doing this. It's been a great 15, 20 minutes or so, and I appreciate you doing this. And we hope that everyone has enjoyed this brief overview of the SECURE Act. And we really urge you to take advantage of this time to build stronger relationships with your donors by educating them on how the Secure Act might affect their plans. And again, if you are a client of Thompson & Associates, we are here to help you navigate through the new law and how it might affect your supporters. So again, thanks for joining us and hope you have a great day.